KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, this is the California Report. Good morning, I'm Scott Schaefer. A state water official is warning that a major earthquake in Northern California could devastate the state's water supply. At a state Senate hearing Tuesday, Lester Snow, director of the California Department of Water Resources, said a 6.5 magnitude earthquake could collapse 30 levees in the Sacramento-San Joaquin Delta, causing floods and jeopardizing the water supply for two-thirds of state residents. Lawmakers said state tax bonds would be needed to pay for strengthening the levees. An initiative to require doctors to notify a parent before performing an abortion on girls under the age of 18 appears to be losing support. Today's field poll shows Proposition 73 is now opposed by 49% of those surveyed and supported by 41%. While the poll does have a margin of error of 6 points, a similar survey conducted just a few days earlier showed slightly more support for the measure, a sign that approval has faded in the past week. Pollster Mark DiCamillo says the background of voters seems to affect their position on the measure.
There are huge differences depending on party between Democrats and Republicans, or by ideology between conservatives and liberals, and even by religious preference. Christians, and especially born-again Christians, are most supportive of this initiative, whereas those affiliated with other religions or of no preference are opposing it.
Prop 73's supporters say the measure would simply require parental notification and would not impact a minor's right to an abortion. But opponents worry the initiative would define abortion as the death of an unborn child, which they say could lead to further restrictions on the procedure. The field poll also shows support is fading for Propositions 78 and 79, the two initiatives dealing with the cost of prescription drugs for low-income citizens. Pollster Mark DiCamillo says the more than $75 million being spent by the pharmaceutical industry on ads for 78 and against 79 may be hurting both measures.
I think it probably does kind of confuse or muddy the waters on both initiatives, since they're pointing out drawbacks, they're pointing out things that might become problems, and voters may have some difficulty separating the two.
Meanwhile, a new LA Times poll confirms what other surveys are showing, that none of the four initiatives backed by the governor has a majority of voter support. However, Proposition 74 relating to teacher tenure is a toss-up. The Bush administration today will spell out the details of its plan to combat what could be the next international health crisis, a worldwide outbreak of the avian flu. Yesterday, President Bush proposed spending billions of dollars for new research, but states will have to shoulder some of that cost. Cy Musiker has more.
The California Department of Health is already in a state of enhanced surveillance for avian flu.
Right now, we are making this our absolute number one problem, but any increase in resources would be quite beneficial to us.
Carol Glazer is chief of the state's viral disease laboratory in Richmond. Glazer says California is still developing its capacity just to test for avian flu.
We are the only lab in the state that can do it. However, we anticipate within a very short time frame that we'll have a number of our other local public health labs that are able to do it.
Glazer hopes California gets about 10% of any federal funds in line with the state's population. President Bush proposed $583 million to help state and local governments prepare for an outbreak. Like most states, California's health infrastructure can use far more help. Arthur Reingold is a professor of epidemiology at Cal Berkeley. He says the state is short on hospital beds and respirators in even mild flu seasons.
If we truly had a large epidemic, it would very quickly overwhelm the capacity of our hospitals to deal with it, and you'd have to look to bringing in mobile military hospital facilities.
Meanwhile, California congressional representatives noted bitterly the president's plan also requires states to stockpile Tamiflu, a medicine to reduce the severity of flu symptoms. The feds will cover just a quarter of the cost, the state's the half-billion-dollar balance. For the California Report, I'm Cy Musiker.
The moment of truth is approaching for John Steinbeck's hometown of Salinas, where a looming budget crisis has put the city's public libraries in jeopardy. On Tuesday, voters will decide whether to approve a half-cent sales tax that would keep the libraries open. If the measure fails, Salinas will become one of the largest cities in the nation without a public library. Ben Adler of KAZU reports.
Salinas is a working-class city, deeply mistrustful of government. Voters already rejected two of three tax measures a year ago, which put the city in the quandary it's in today, in danger of losing its libraries and rec centers for good. and sharply cutting police, fire, and other services. Backers of the half-cent sales tax, known as Measure V, say Salinas has a revenue problem, not a spending problem. But residents like Brett Landon aren't so sure. Pointing to city documents showing a sharp increase in employee salaries, Landon says the city pays its union workers too much for wages and benefits.
Our town was incorporated in 1874, so it took 120 years for the salary to get up to $55,000, and yet in 11 years they doubled their salaries, and they basically have absorbed all the resources we need and caused a lot of damage to our city.
Landon also says other California cities with similar populations pay their employees lower average salaries than Salinas. But Mayor Ana Caballero says Landon's math has a fatal flaw. She says the city had to lay off low-wage workers in previous budget rounds, and that has skewed the average salary higher. Caballero points to the money the city's general fund brings in per resident, just $413.
They have not been able to say that the amount that we receive per capita is an amount that is excessive. They can't do that, because when you take a look at how much we spend per person in the city of Salinas, it is much lower than cities of similar size, cities that are our neighbors.
After the tax measures failed last year, many of the city's businesses joined community activists in raising funds to crack the libraries open a few hours a week. Salinas Valley Chamber of Commerce Chair-elect Dennis Donahue.
This community has been given a choice that we either increase revenues or lose services. So the Chamber's view is, in order for us to have a healthy community, we simply must get local control, maintain our services for the good of the entire community and the business environment.
But Measure V supporters, including the Chamber of Commerce, are not taking any chances. They're targeting likely voters with direct mail, phone calls, and door-to-door visits. For the California Report, I'm Ben Adler in Salinas.
That's the California Report for Wednesday, November 2nd, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Scott Schaefer. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the California Endowment for Coverage of Healthcare in California, the California Farm Water Coalition, family farmers dedicated to using water to produce fresh fruits, vegetables, and grains for your family, online at farmwater.org, and TIAA CREF, serving those who serve others by offering financial services for the greater good, TIAA-CREF.org.